Welcome to Career Tools. This week, Coaching Yourself, Part 2. We finish up suggesting how you can use the Manager Tools coaching model to be more effective for your own self-improvement projects.
Okay, so we've got our goal, and now we've got a list of resources. And we've picked the one that we feel is the one that we want to do, that most motivates us, or we think is going to be most helpful.
Let's actually say two things. First of all, one other thing, we mentioned coming to the forums. Go to your buddies. Sit down at your buddy's desk, his cube, and go, hey, dude, I'm thinking about working on interrupting. Is there anything you know? Anything you can suggest? Any ideas? Hey, be thinking about it, dude. I'm going to try to get better at that. And after your buddy kind of looks at you like, really? You're going to have a self-improvement project? Look back at him and go, yeah. No offense, 6 months from now, well, maybe you won't be my buddy. Maybe you'll be my direct. Okay, anyway. Okay, the second thing is, we're about to pick one of these resources to plan some short-term actions, which is step 3. We're about to pick one of these resources. You could actually pick a couple of them, okay? I would recommend you pick one that you think will work, or you have a gut feel that would work, but you don't have to only pick one. You could, in fact, pick two. Maybe you could pick a book, and you could also pick a public training course, a public speaking course, or an elocution course, or a manners course, simply because in the first 2 weeks, you're not going to immediately be immersed in the course. You have to identify the course and develop the resources for it and so on while you're also getting the book. So you can pursue multiple paths of the resources at the same time. We don't recommend you overdo it because a lot of people put their best foot forward when they're trying to self-improve only to drag the other foot behind. And we want to make the first few weeks as easy as possible, and we'll explain that in a minute. Okay. Okay. Keep going, Wendy.
So now it's time to turn this list of resources into something we can start right away, like now. Because all the time you're doing nothing between writing your goal and completing the actions, you're losing momentum. So if you set something to do in a week's time, you'll have found all sorts of excuses not to do it. And because as human beings, psychologists tell us that we believe our future self is much more motivated than we are. Our future self is just a better person.
Yes.
We're going to be better. And that's why we all have Oscar winners in our Netflix queue. And when we sit down, we watch Dumber and Dumber because, you know, Oscar, yeah, right now, I think I ought to watch it, but my better self will watch it. And right now, I just want some comedy.
I've never heard that modality, that. That's very interesting.
Yeah, apparently it's true.
Are you saying that you have Oscar winners in your queue, but you've watched Dumb and Dumber?
I haven't actually watched Dumber and Dumber because it's not my thing, but I have watched plenty of stuff with that is very lowbrow, and I do have Oscar winners in my queue.
Yes,
so,
okay.
Yeah. So the thing to do is not to depend on future you. You give present you a resource and something to do. And just plan the first couple of weeks. So plan the first...
You mean we're not going to plan the entire thing? In other words, if we have 6 months, we're not going to try to write everything down. We're not going to come up with what most people would consider to be a full project plan. Even though this is a self-improvement project, you're saying we don't have to plan the next 6 months. Why not? Why wouldn't we plan the next 6 months?
Well, first of all, because we think that future us is better. And when we get to future us, present us will fail. And the other thing is, you haven't done this thing before, or you haven't done it to the quality or the level that you want to do it. So you don't know how to do it. So planning for something you don't know how to do is kind of futile.
Yeah.
And who knows if the first resource you think, okay, I'm going to pick this first resource and it's a training program and I'm going to go to the training on this day and 3 weeks later I'm going to be at this point. Well, who knows if the trainer's any good, if the training actually achieves what it was supposed to do. If you can find a way to fit that into your daily life, the techniques they teach you work in your environment, you have no idea.
Right. And part of the reason you have no idea is you're not any good at this. So you're not an expert at it. So your ability to predict the future, even your ability to plan for the future, even if you think of yourself as a planner, your ability to predict the likelihood of any one outcome of something that's going to happen 2 or 3 months from now on something you're not good at is pretty limited by definition. But there's something else, too, that I always say to audiences, Manager Tools audiences, that you haven't said, and that is you won't do it because you don't have time. The idea that you're going to come up with a 6-month project plan for anyone else or for yourself, you're going to sit down and you're going to take several hours and figure out in exactly what order all of these potential resources are going to be used, and you're going to be accurately able to know that in week 25, you're going to be right here is ludicrous. It's simply not going to happen. What's more, you don't want to take the 4 or 5 hours to do it. You just don't. And if you spend all that time planning, and then, as inevitably happens, you're not in complete control of all of the forces that affect you at work, something changes in your work life, you're on a special project, suddenly your boss says, we're going to do X in a different way, and it causes you to have to learn something new for 3 or 4 weeks, your entire plan, the thing you hated doing but took hours to do one weekend and took time away for your family, is now completely moot. At some level, everyone knows that's going to happen, and it's actually very enervating to be doing this because you feel like, I know this isn't going to work. I know I'm going to have to be constantly adjusting this. So again, folks, we're encouraging you. You only write the first couple of weeks, even really just the first week of tasks. What's more, we're going to recommend you write easy to do, and if you really want to be smart, almost trivially easy to do tasks. And the reason why is to give yourself a chance to win early on. And I'll explain more about that in a minute. Okay. So you have some tasks for us, some examples?
Yeah. So we're gonna choose a coach from the list that we had before. And again, I'm stealing Mark's guidance on the tasks, but you can easily write your own. They follow the same format as the major goal: by a deadline, do this. And this is the quality standard if that kind of fits.
Okay, so what you're saying is there's a format for writing a task. And it starts out with the word by again. This is not a goal, although it is goal directed. It's not the ultimate coaching goal, but it's an actual behavior we're going to engage in. It's a task. And by a certain date and time. We include both a date and time. And the reason we include a time, folks, is we want to be reminded that we ought to be assigning ourselves tasks that are small and simple. And the reason for that is because if you give yourself a deadline that is 3 weeks from now, because you think the task is going to take 3 weeks, you will put that task off for a couple of weeks. And the reason why is because your life tends to be, whether you realize it or not, or willing to admit it or not, is greatly driven by near-term urgent deadlines. And when you look at 15 deadlines, if there's one that's really valuable to you that is going to take 3 weeks, and there's some that are less valuable that you can do today, the vast majority of people in the workplace do the ones that are due today because they fear the near-term consequences, even if they're small consequences, or the danger of missing a deadline, particularly if it's a publicly known deadline, whereas they think, okay, I'll do that 3-week task in 2 weeks starting next week. Ask yourself whether or not that's true. You'll probably find it's quite true.
Here's the list for a coach. So by 3 p.m. today, Monday, I'm deciding it's Monday, find a list of 5 possible titles a coach who could help me stop interrupting would go by and add them to my coaching notes.
Okay, so what you're saying is you're going to do some research to find out what coaches who might help on this call themselves.
Yes.
And this is the first step so that you're not searching for a coach without knowing what they're called.
Exactly.
Okay. And I would argue, folks, she just said find a list. I don't know that I would say find a list. I would either say write a list or list 5 titles a coach would go by. I think this is just the structure of the sentence that threw me, Wendy. List 5 titles a coach would go by who could help me on interrupting.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And that's by 3 p.m. Monday, today.
By 3 p.m. Monday, which is today. And the reason we're going to add them to my coaching notes, which is the last part.
Right.
When we write goals for directs, we tell them, send me. because they have to, until it's reported, it's not done. As a manager, you don't know that your director's done the work until they've told you that it's done.
And let me put it differently. You don't know that they've done the work until they tell you. But technically, folks, in the modern organization, if you haven't heard us say this, we've said it 1,000 times. If you've done work and no one knows it's done, it's not done. The fact that you've completed the task is not, in the modern organization, what's important. What's important is other people can leverage your work. And what that means is your work is never done in an organization until someone else can leverage it further for benefit to the customer or what have you. Even if you think the task you have is only for you, it doesn't matter. Self-reporting, reporting to others that a task is done, is a huge part of organizational life. And as a rule, you don't get credit for doing something unless it's reported as having been done.
And if there's no one to report to, then reporting to yourself, that there's something about as the direct being able to send your boss a note and saying, I did it, and having him say, good job. Even if it's the, you know, Google go to Amazon and find 5 books on this topic. We're going to give you really, really tiny goals and or tiny tasks, because even the tiniest task makes you feel good. And if you can record it in your book and, you know, 3 weeks later when you're thinking, oh, this not interrupting thing is so hard, and right, you can look back and you've done all those tasks, you'll then feel like, okay, I'm making really good progress. And yep, maybe that'll pick you up that day.
Yeah. We joke, and it's a really old aphorism, but by the mile, it's a trial, by the yard, it's hard, and by the inch, it's a cinch. And project management theory says that one of the great ways to predict the likelihood of a project's future success is the percentage of early tasks that are green. You've all been on projects, and again, this is a self-improvement project. Coaching yourself is a self-improvement project. You've all been on project teams where the project starts, and in the first 3 weeks, you notice that everything's red. And you realize nobody really thinks this thing is going to go, and they think there's no consequences for it. And so therefore, they're not applying any of their work, any of their effort to it. And you realize, I can get away with not doing that. Huh, I'm not going to. On the other hand, if you're on a project team, and early on, a bunch of the early things are done, it motivates you to go, oh, okay, this is something that I got to get done. And if you put that idea together with the idea that 3 week long tasks tend to not get done, then you're essentially creating a situation where you're not going to have any results for 3 weeks on your self-improvement project, and then suddenly you're going to be red, and it's going to be demotivating. So we want things that are due today and tomorrow. I mean, literally, step by step by step by step. You could do 2 or 3 things today, things that last 5 minutes or 10 minutes. And we've talked many times about the example of a book. We asked managers at our conferences, okay, how many of you, if you assigned a book today, you told them the book's title, said, I'll reimburse you for the price of the book, or I'll give you money for the book, or I'll give you my corporate credit card so you can buy the book, and you said, I want you to read the book, I'll give you a month, it's only 150 pages, and if you're an adult, you should be able to read any 150-page book in a month. I want you to read the book, and by the way, folks, we're not assuming that somebody has to read the book at home. They can read the book at work, okay? Self-improvement is part of work. I'm not saying you can't do it at home, but we're not going to make you do it at home. And then we ask, raise your hand if over half of your directs will have finished that book in a month without any oversight and will be ready to discuss it. And no one, almost no one, ever raises their hand. And the reason for that is not because people can't read, not because the topic isn't good, not because they hate their boss, but because people tend to delay their work on long-term deadlines. They do, because they have stuff to do today. Regardless of the ethical value of the task, they simply focus on the things they have to do today. They keep their head down and they get through their day. So what we've learned is the way to read a book is one page at a time, or one paragraph, or one chapter at a time. And as an example, just getting the book, if it's going to take a month, the average person delays getting the book. Well, you can't read the book unless you get the book. So let's make it easy for them to get the book. So the example I like to use is, rather than assigning in a month, we're gonna discuss this book and I'll give gold stars to people who have read it, you say, no, by 5 p.m. today, let's say we're helping somebody on improving their project management skills. By 5 p.m. today, send me a list of the 5 best books on project management on Amazon.com. And people are like, wow, that's a really trivial task. Yeah, it is. And I want to encourage you to get it done. How long would it actually take you if your browser was open on your desktop and you had an internet connection to send your boss a list of the 5 top-selling or most recommended best project, and you could use any proxy you want for best, project management books on Amazon? It'd probably take you no more than a minute or 90 seconds to go to Amazon, type in project management, click and drag through the top 5 titles, command C, copy them, paste them into an email, and say, boss, here are the 5 books. And then by 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, send me a receipt for the book you bought. And then by 4 p.m. the following day, send me a picture of the book you bought on your desk. By the way, Wendy, I was in Australia recently, as you know, and I said that, and I forgot I was in Australia, and they all were in uproar because they said, if I buy something from Amazon, it takes 2 weeks. That won't work for us. I'm like, gee whiz, folks. I love you Aussies. I love going every year. In fact, we're going twice this year. This is 2014, and we're going to go back in September, October. And I think this time I'm going to get to play golf again in Tasmania and New Zealand. But I was like, okay, give them 6 weeks to finish the book and say, okay, by 4 p.m., 2 weeks from today, send me a copy of the book, a picture of the book on your desk. And then the next day, by 3 p.m. the next day, send me a 3-sentence summary of the first chapter of the book. And the way we're going to read the book is the old saying of how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. The goal is the elephant. And we're going to say at the end of a year, we will have eaten all the elephant. And day one, we're going to find an elephant. and then when we start eating it, we're going to say, eat one bite. And the next day, eat another bite. And we're not going to beat ourselves up that it's going to take 10,000 bites, because that's how long it takes. And we're not going to say, at the end of 6 months, we will have eaten a leg. Okay? Because we won't do that task, not just because we don't want to eat elephants, but rather because if you give somebody a task that's going to take 6 months, they're not going to do it today.
Okay. Exactly.
Sorry, Wendy. This is a passionate subject for me.
Yeah, clearly. We'll carry on the example. So we looked up some titles for what an interrupting coach might have as a job title. And here's some more. So by 9 a.m. Tuesday morning, ask Joe for recommendations, as I know he has a coach.
A recommendation for a coach?
Yeah, because we know he has one, so he might recommend his own.
Okay.
By 2 p.m. Tuesday, so there's 2 goals on Tuesday. By 2 p.m. Tuesday, decide on a list of 3 coaches I want to contact with their prices and why I chose them, and add those to my coaching notes.
Okay. We're coming up with daily tasks, but we don't have a coach yet.
No, but it's been 2 days. Like two right. days. It doesn't matter. So by 3 p.m. Wednesday, write notes on the 3 coaches with notes about what I thought about them and which one I've decided on. In the first one, you might just look at them by price and why you narrowed it down to 3. And then in the second goal on Wednesday, you're looking at, okay, these are the 3. Which one am I going to choose between them? So on Thursday, by the end of dinner on Thursday, have discussed with my spouse which coach I want to hire, the total cost, and get her agreement. Spending money is usually something that families decide together. And on 10:30 on Friday, write down on my coaching notes about my interactions and interruptions during the meeting. So our ops meeting is on Friday morning at 8:30. So by 10:30, it's done. And we would write down how many times I interrupted or heard myself interrupt and how many times I had an interaction. So within less than a week, we've made major progress. Even though we started slow, we've decided on a coach, we've assessed their fit with their goal, and we've established a baseline of the behavior because we counted in the operations meetings so that we can measure improvement. So you've made this progress in a week and you got everything else you needed done. Like, that's awesome. And that kind of feeling of accomplishment, I feel good and I'm just describing it. That feeling of accomplishment propels you forward. Those setting the short, easy goals makes you feel like I'm getting somewhere, you know, and it's like a steam train starting. It starts slow. As time goes on, it gets faster and faster because it you have to get off the inertia. You have to get some momentum going. And the way you get momentum going is having lots of short, small, easy tasks that you can win at.
Right. The engineer doesn't put it in full speed ahead the moment he starts. He starts and puts it in first gear, and then you go to second gear and gradually improve. And what's more, he doesn't say, I want to be going 30 miles an hour right now, and immediately start cursing when the speedometer goes from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. He doesn't. He says, okay, it's going to take some time. If you start cursing early on that you wish you could magically do it, all you're going to do is motivate yourself to go back to, I'd rather go back to not doing it and not feeling bad about not getting there, right? Why bother? We want to give you lots of small wins early on. One thing we tell managers is, if you assign tasks that are 3 weeks long, and it's an important enough thing that this direct has to do it, think about late stage coaching where someone has to get better or you're going to have to fire them, as painful as that is. If you're assigning 3 week tasks and they're not getting there, if you're smart, one of the things you're going to do is shorten the duration, the deadline for the task. You're going to assign smaller tasks that can be done more quickly. Why put people through the pain of assigning 1 or 2 or 3 week long tasks and then have to essentially punish them and say, well, clearly you can't handle the longer tasks, so I'm going to give you shorter ones. Don't do that to people. Give them the shorter ones. If, in fact, yourself, if you find that you can handle daily tasks easily, start extending the size and scope of tasks to things that will require you to get them done tomorrow or the next day or 3 days from now, and see whether or not you can stay motivated on this self-improvement project about interrupting to do a task that has a 3-day deadline. In other words, that you do a little bit today, tomorrow, and the next day in order to meet the task, the deliverable, the deadline of 3 days from now. If you can do that, try tasks that are a week long. But if you start failing at week-long tasks, immediately cut back to task, to scope your tasks that are small, that are almost baby steps. If, in fact, baby steps is not the phrase you like, it doesn't matter to me. The point is, so what if they're baby steps, if it, in fact, gets you where you want to go? Don't assume that somebody will do 3-week tasks when most of us know darn well we don't like 3-week long tasks and we don't tackle them day one. Start with smaller tasks and extend them by showing that you're motivated enough to do the smaller task. Don't give them the longer task and then shorten them, because they're going to feel like they're being overseen, or, as some people say at conferences, micromanaged.
So we've got a goal. We've broken it down into some tasks. We're going to start on the tasks. And there's several times we've mentioned writing it down. And you probably want a notebook just for your coaching notes, partly because if it's a self-improvement project and you're doing it on your own, you probably want it to be private. And partly because if you try and take notes about those tasks in a notebook that you use for everything else or anything else, you're going to get confused about what you're looking at. So it's better to have something separate. And each time you achieve one of the tasks, you can check it off or cross it out or put a gold star next to it or whatever you want to do. Because you're not going to get outside reinforcement, you probably need to do it for yourself. And Mike and I are working in the same office this week, and we have a sheet of paper on the wall, a big flip chart paper, and it says successes. And we've been writing down every time we get something done that is on the list, we write it on the list so that we can both see it. And it's silly, but it helps. Right. So if it's silly, but it helps, right?
It's not
we
silly.
We do it anyway. Yeah.
And folks, now you might be wondering, okay, how can I be sure that my work is actually getting me where I need to go? What's the mechanism for the self-check mechanism for making sure that whatever I'm working on this week is getting me there? The example I'd use is, how do I know whether I'm getting to Atlanta if I'm starting in Los Angeles, if in fact I'm looking at the road right in front of me? Well, what you do is periodically you look up. Our recommendation is every week you ask yourself, how do I feel about how I'm doing? If you feel good, you're probably fine. Okay? We trust that you know what the ultimate goal is. You know whether or not you're getting better. Another thing you can do, a classic check data or a checkpoint, is to say, okay, I'm going to periodically actually measure myself against the end goal, the ultimate goal that we started out with, to see whether or not I'm making any progress. In other words, let's say I read a book about interpersonal behaviors, whether it's good or not is irrelevant, but I check after 3 weeks, let's say I finished the book. And so I measure every week whether or not I'm interrupting more in the operations meeting, in the example that Wendy has here. In fact, as a general rule, if you're measuring a behavior that you can use every week at work, then you ought to actually have what amounts to a pretest or a quiz or a checkpoint to say, how am I doing? And if in the first 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks or months, your behavior doesn't change, but you're learning about it, that's okay. On the other hand, if you get worse, well, maybe you ought to not be doing the things that the book or the coach or whoever suggested you do. On the other hand, if you started out making 10 interruptions and now you're down to 8, you're headed in the right direction. In other words, we recommend periodically, on a regular, routine, recurring basis, a checkpoint where you take a final exam early and see how you're doing, just to see whether or not you're headed in the right direction. If you're headed in the right direction, keep going the way you're going. But don't not measure the behavior you're wanting to improve. Don't simply say, I'm not going to measure it between now and the time I have the final exam. If in fact I were coaching Wendy on how to run meetings, or if we were coaching ourselves, we would look for opportunities to run meetings and compare ourselves against the final standard. That's how you tell, because some of you are saying, I would need to build a project plan in order to connect all the dots so I know that I'm headed in the right direction. No, you don't. No. You just need to test your behavior along the way. And that allows you to not spend the time creating a gigantic project plan and still know whether or not you're getting where you need to be. Because the idea that you can sit down and in the abstract in one day, which usually, of course, would be a weekend day away from your family, that you can come up with a precisely accurate 6-month project plan that will therefore prove that you will get to the ultimate goal in terms of behavior change is next to zero.
Yeah. And don't expect a straight line in terms of your improvement. Like, you might, if you're doing interruptions, you will not have 5 and then 4 and then 3 and then 2 and then none. It just, you're human and that's not how human beings work. It'll probably be like 5, 7 because you noticed more, 4, 8 because you had a bad week, 2, 3, 3, 1, 2, you know, and it goes down. And then at the end, you're having like 5 weeks with only 2 or 3 interruptions. That's a major improvement on a week with 8 or a week with 7. So human beings don't move in straight lines. So don't expect yourself to do so.
Yeah. And when you have an 8 or a 7, you laugh and you go, boy, that was a bad week. And the moment you measure it, by definition, when you measure it, it's done. There's nothing you can do about it. All measuring is of the past. So let yourself off the hook. Do what you would do, what you would want your boss to do, if you had been showing some effort and some improvement, and then you had an off week. What would you want your boss to do? Since you are your own boss in some ways, of some behaviors, what would you want your boss to do? You want your boss to go, hey, that wasn't that great, and I know you're working hard, and I'm going to hold you accountable, and I want you to do better, and hey, you know, stuff happens. We're going to let it go. That's what you'd want your boss to do. And as Jimmy Buffett would say, breathe in, breathe out, move on.
Yeah. So once you've used a resource up, choose a different one. So you might not have gone to a coach to begin with because it's expensive. You might have found a YouTube video with some tricks and you've used all those and you've got the hang of them and they've improved you. You're interrupting from 10 times a meeting to 8 times a meeting. So now you choose a book or another resource, or you choose a couple of resources to use simultaneously. You need to be careful not to overwhelm yourself. But go back to your list of resources, choose one or more other ones, and do the same thing.
Yeah.
Set tiny, tiny goals. So if it's you're going to buy a book, you know, choose one. That's a goal, a task. Getting it from Amazon, that's a task. Just because you're going through this process and you're getting better at it, you don't need to make the goals harder or the tasks harder. You can keep them dead simple and keep having those easy wins.
Yeah, if you like a resource, keep using other resources like it. If you don't like it, stop and try a different one. It's silly to believe that in an area where you're not good, you're going to have great insight into the resource that will help you make it better. We're really, again, agnostic about the resource. Now, you may know something about yourself. I've joked before that when Mike wants to get better at something, Mike reads 30 books and becomes an expert. And he doesn't actually improve for quite a while, but then after he's read all the books and he assimilates all that information, then he becomes a Jedi master of it. That's not me. I'm not going to read 30 books and stay in neutral. I'm going to take a swing at the thing right now, and then I'm going to call a buddy of mine and say, hey, will you please do this for me and tell me how you do it? Neither one of those is right. They're just different. And if I'm working on something that doesn't respond well to calling a buddy, and I call a couple of buddies and it doesn't work, I'm going to end up doing something different, maybe even reading a book, which, by the way, I'm more than happy to do. But but that's not how I normally learn a new behavior, where it is how Mike learns new behaviors. But how you learn a new behavior is up to you, and none are necessarily better. What matters is the behavior gets learned, can be practiced, and you can, in fact, engage in that behavior to meet the standard that you set.
So shall I sum up?
Sure.
So first of all, decide on a goal, and that has a date, a behavior, and a quality standard. Brainstorm resources or steal somebody else's list. Plan short-term actions and celebrate when you get them done, and report progress versus the goal. And you can get better at anything. All you have to do is choose something and get started. And it doesn't matter what you choose either. Just because interrupting is my worst habit, I might not choose that. I might choose something that's easier to change, something I picked up later in life that I haven't been doing as long, so that it's easy and I get to win at that. And then I try the hard thing. Because it's a self-improvement plan and you're choosing, you get to choose.
Right.
And that feeling of early accomplishment is the feeling of success. And that's what gives you the motivation when it's hard. And it increases the chance of you getting to the end goal.
Right. Okay. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
There you have it, folks. The entire Manager Tools coaching model applied to you. We know it took 2 weeks. Sometimes these things just take a little longer. Hope it helped. Come back next week. After all, this is Career Tools, and we're pretty good every week.